Hi, this is your friend Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to the Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to the Miracle Cafe. Hey, my beautiful friend, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. I'm your host, Emmanuel Dagger, and we have an amazing show for you today. Let's just get right into it right now. Let's jump into our hot topic. Our panelists today are healer, teacher, and advocate of love and peace, Shelley Strank, bioenergetic specialist, health consultant and educator, EFT and One Command practitioner, author and activator, Sylvie Olivier, and renowned speaker, healer, intuitive, and teacher, Kim Mitchell. A warm welcome to all of you to our hot topics today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
So excited. So let's just jump right into it. The first question comes from Ariel from California. To the guest panelists, what are your thoughts on the climate change situation? Do you think that it's man-made, or is it just part of what's supposed to be happening as part of the next step of our evolution? Let's go ahead and go to Sylvie with that.
Well, I think it's a combination of both, Ariel. As human beings, it's important to take full responsibility of our actions and acknowledge it when we don't respect natural resources and Mother Earth. And I think this is what we are kind of doing collectively. Having said that, I also think we are living a natural process of chaos that always precedes evolution. So I think it's very important that we don't blame or judge others or feel guilty, because these energies won't serve our purpose. But when we dive into our heart, all the solutions are there, and they're available and lovingly presented to us. I know we have the power to co-create a healthy way of living on Earth in harmony and respect for all that is.
Yes. Oh, that was so powerful, Sylvie.
Thank you. Anyone
want to add? Let's go to Kim. What do you think? What's your perspective on Ariel's question?
I agree that it is a combination of decisions that we've made as human beings in terms of how we relate to the Earth. I think it's a sign of our feeling of separation and not understanding how we really are one with the planet. And I also think there is a natural evolutionary process that is happening on the planet, and I do agree that we are moving into a new phase. And I see that as a positive thing, because one of the things that climate change is awakening within us is this understanding that we really are one with everything. And so I think there's a blessing in it. And I know that the end will be resolved so that our highest good will definitely happen. And I just have faith in that.
Oh, I couldn't have said it better. And Karen, Shelley, what's your perspective?
I agree with both of them. I believe it's both. I also believe that Mother Earth is crying out to us to make changes, because we really need to change the way we use our energy by reducing our carbon footprint and by using the three R's, which is reduce, reuse, and recycle. And I also believe that the planetary system is assisting Mother Earth to ascend into the new Earth that she's becoming. So,
Beautiful. I love it. And it sounds like we're all in agreement with that one, and it's very, very similar. Okay, so let's keep continuing with Shelley. This question comes from Mike in Wisconsin. He says, I have a pattern of being hard on myself so that I become a better person. How can I continue bettering myself without being hard on myself? What's your perspective?
Well, my perspective is that when we're hard on ourselves, there's a part of us that feels inadequate or insecure. So we need to go within and heal those patterns. And we can do this by lifting yourself up. You know, accept yourself for who you truly are, which is divine love. We all have gifts that no one else has, and we need to discover those gifts and tap into them. It's time for all of us to shine, step into the light that we are, and because we're all a gift to this world.
Yes, we are. And Sylvie, you have anything to add to that?
Oh, yes. Dear Mike, well, do you know how perfect and complete you already are in your heart? Of course, we learned that we always had to become more and do more and have more before we could receive recognition or be someone. But this is the programming of our society. And if you allow yourself to go deeper in your heart at this very moment, you will find your golden heart, this tiny sacred space where resides your essence. And you will meet the master that you already are. And you'll be the one you're hoping for because you are perfect in your imperfections. You are complete. There's nothing wrong with you. So just feel the love in your heart and you will live your life with grace and so much ease.
Mm. Wow. And Kim, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, I love this question. I often tell people that I work with to really imagine that the thoughts that they're having when they're beating themselves up or when they're being hard on themselves, that those thoughts are being said to someone they really cherish that's outside of themselves, like their best friend or their mother or someone they really love, and just evaluate how they would feel if someone were saying those thoughts to someone they love. And if that causes you to feel defensive, like you want to defend that person you love, or to feel like it's unjust, then you need to reexamine what are those thoughts that you're having toward yourself. Because I believe that we can better ourselves and also be compassionate.
Yeah.
And I think we also have a tendency to be more compassionate and patient with other people's process than our own. So by pretending that those thoughts are being directed towards someone we love, it helps give us a greater perspective.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, wow. I'm loving all these perspectives today. They're just so on point and resonating with me a lot. So this comes from Morgan in Sydney, Australia. Let's go to Kim for this one. She says, one of the things I've always wanted in life is to get married and have children with a partner. Being a woman of a certain age, I grew up with ideals of how a man should show up for a woman as a life partner. Besides the basics, I was raised believing that the man has to make the first move, pays for everything, and has to treat me like his number one priority. Now I'm getting to an age where I've realized maybe some of these expectations that I've put on men have shown up a certain way as blocking me from experiencing the meaningful partnership I really want. Do you have any advice on how I can open myself up more to a romantic partnership and not be so fixated on the man having to be pretty much the type of man that would have existed decades ago?
All I can say is, ooh, Morgan. This is something that me and my friends talk about all the time. Being a single woman and not yet a woman of a certain age, but having grown up hearing the same type of messages, what I have now come to understand is that people are not mind readers. And there's been so much that has gone on in terms of men redefining their roles and women redefining their roles in society in terms of how we're programmed and how we're socialized, that people are really confused. You know, what am I supposed to do? So I think one of the responsibilities that we now have in dating and in relationship is to actually vocalize and communicate what we expect and what we want from someone else, understanding that it's like making a request and it can be accepted or denied. From that point, we also have to decide what it is we can accept and what we cannot accept, because there's certain things that we know we want in our hearts that we really should not compromise. And each of us has to determine those things for ourselves. But I think the main thing that I've seen is that men, from what I've seen, are good people who do want to be providers and do want to give you experiences that bring you pleasure and happiness. Mm-hmm. But they can't always read our minds and know what it's going to take to have us feel that way. Nor are they really responsible for our happiness, ultimately. So we really have to learn how to communicate what we want and understand and expect and respect that the person may not be able to give us that.
Mm, wow. And Shelley, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes. I believe that we need to let go of all the expectations we've had in the past, and because a lot of those expectations have allowed us to close our heart to someone wonderful because we place them in this box and it has to look a certain way, right? It's time for everybody to have a relationship with yourself. You need to give yourself self-love and compassion, because this will fill you up from the inside. And as you fill up the divine well from within you, you will attract someone from the overflow.
Mm. Wow. So it just starts with the self. And do you have anything to add to that, Sylvie?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think the first thing for you, Morgan, is to be in love with yourself. with who you really are. And once you establish a meaningful relationship with you, you'll open yourself up to a wonderful romantic partnership with a man. Because decades ago, we were taught as women that we couldn't stand up for ourselves and that we kind of had to be the shadow of a man. But now, with the emergence of the divine feminine, we know that it's not true, that the divine feminine and the divine masculine are there to co-create together as a whole. And so your mind may influence you because it has been programmed with old beliefs, but your heart knows the truth, always. Your heart is intuitive, so it will know if you are to make the first move or not, and you will appreciate being invited by a man, but you may learn to appreciate using your financial abundance to invite a man also. You know, it's a beautiful and graceful dance between you and your lover. Sometimes he has to make the move, and other times you are making the move.
Wow. That is a great perspective. All of these perspectives are amazing. So we are actually, we have to go to break. We're running out of time for our hot topics, but I just wanted to make sure everyone got to share their website. So Sylvie, can you please share your website? Where can people find you?
Yes, they can find me at explorationgratitude.com.
Perfect. And Shelley, where can they find you?
They can find me at www.shelleystrank.com.
And that's Strank?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. And we have Kim, where they can find
people
you.
People can find me at www.chemistryarts.com. And chemistry is spelled K-I-M, as in Kim, E-S-T-R-Y-A-R-T-S.
Perfect. Yay. So thank you all for being here today. Thank you for sharing your beautiful presence with me. You're welcome back anytime. And we're actually going to take a quick music break. And when we return, we have a powerful session for you. Stay tuned. And now I'm so excited to introduce our miraculous guest today. Nicoya Christie is a visionary, spiritual teacher, and evolutionary guide. She is the author of 5 books and is currently completing her 6th book that will be published by Bear & Co. in September 2013. She's the founder of World Shift Movement, co-founder of World Shift International, and co-initiator of World Shift 2012. She is the pioneer of several spiritual teaching models for personal and global evolution. Nicoya utilizes her Facebook wall as a teaching platform for the same. Nicoya, welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Oh, thank you, Emmanuel. I'm just so honored to be here today, and I really, really appreciate you inviting me. So thank you.
Thank you, and it is such an honor to have you with us today and your beautiful presence. So the theme for today is personal and global evolution. I know this is all about what you do. So can you share and expand a little bit more about your work and how this ties in with this theme?
Yes, thank you. Well, I started out with my work in learning about human nature and the human condition and the human being from a psychological perspective. And so I've done a huge amount of studying over many years on a psychological level with the human being and how to work with the human being in that way. And so for many, many years I worked one-to-one, I worked in groups, and I wrote about psychological evolution and spiritual evolution. But then, in the sort of last 3 and 4 years maybe, I've noticed that there's been another component that's come into my work, which is very much to do with global evolution. Because what I realized when I was exploring and reading and noticing what was going on in the world is that if we are not in ourselves, if you like, integrated, we cannot create an integrated world. So I realized that we'd spent human beings throughout, you know, hundreds of years, even throughout millennia, but certainly in the last sort of 100 years or so, have been orienting towards creating peace on earth, creating a more peaceful and just world. And the focus has been very much out there. It's almost like a dualistic approach, as, you know, let's put it out there and let's fix it out there, let's get the people out there, you know, the governments, whoever, to fix it, the therapists to fix it, and so forth. And what I realized is that, in fact, what we're all looking for, what we all long for, peace and harmony and, you know, a beautiful world, as it were, we create that by being that ourselves. And so I realized that there was the bridge between the personal evolution, and it's actually the personal evolution that will create the global evolution that we're all, you know, we're all visioning, those of us that are very much on this path. And so that's where the global evolution aspect came into it.
And that is so powerful. And now, when you say personal evolution, can you tell us about some of the teaching models you've created that can support us in really, really anchoring more of that personal evolution, and so that the global evolution can evolve and show up more quickly? Can you share some of your insights and models around that?
Yeah, thank you. Well, it starts obviously with you know thyself. So it starts with healing ourselves. So it really begins with recognizing that we have a history in this lifetime, and that our upbringing, if you like, and the system that we've worked in, and the influence of the caretakers, the parents, the schools, the universities, the local community, the country, and the world, all impact on the psyche, all impact on the emotions and the mental level of our being. And so in a way it's a little bit like unraveling. It's saying, okay, I'm going to reel myself back in time to those places in time, if you like, where I've experienced a trauma, or experienced not being met, or experienced making myself invisible, or all the myriad of things that we do, many of us that do, to in a way get through the childhood and the teenage years in particular. So, you know, the first place is to go back and to heal those sort of traumas, those deep trauma imprints that many, many people carry into adulthood. And then it's those trauma imprints that actually are in the driving seat of their lives. So this is one thing that we can do, and we do that through classic means, i.e. psychotherapy or looking at ourselves and you know, doing shamanic work or whatever calls us to really explore the inner world. But I say that there's something I call the balloon syndrome, which is that I've met, you know, thousands of people over the last, you know, two decades, and many of those would call themselves spiritual and are indeed spiritual. But what I've noticed is, without the psychological grounding, what happens is people tend to still be split, so they can still be spiritual, but there's still a splitting off from a huge part of themselves. And so when we heal this part of ourselves, this is when we become whole. We become holistic beings.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry to interject, but that is just striking such a chord with me, because I didn't know how to verbalize it or even, you know, you just put it so eloquently, because, you know, you work with a lot of spiritual people, a community, and then it's almost like two different people. One day this person shows up, the other day this person shows up, and now it makes sense to me that maybe it's just because they need to heal some of the traumas that they were, you know, that those imprints that they've had when they were children. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, because spirituality, when we're sort of living an alternative spiritual, in quotes, life, it can also be an escape. It can be an easy escape. People sort of meditate and they love themselves out of what the traumas that are there, but we have to go into the trauma. You know, in psychosynthesis, which is the groundwork training I had in psychotherapy, they talk of identifying in order to disidentify. So it's like going into the wound and coming out of it rather than just sort of bypassing it or floating above it.
Wow, that is, I mean, that's an aha moment for me, so thank you for sharing that. And let me ask you, how did you, or what was that single defining moment that really brought you to this perspective, that brought you to this path that you're on right now?
Yes, well, interestingly enough, it started in my late 20s, and I'd just actually come out of a marriage that was a very traumatizing marriage. I'd left the marriage, and I was really sitting with the question, but why did I allow what happened in that marriage to happen? It was an abusive marriage. And that took me into therapy. And the defining moment for me is, there's been a few defining moments, but the first defining moment, if you like, consciously, was my very first therapy session, where the therapist said to me, I've actually given her some history, and I'd actually said to her that I was adopted. And she said to me, you know, how do you feel about that? And I was one of these balloon types at this point in my life. And I said, oh, you know, I feel absolutely fine. It was all meant to be, and it was fate, it was destiny, and I chose this, and it was my contract. I mean, I really rationalized the whole thing on a spiritual level. And so she looked at me again, and she said to me, yes, but what I want to know is, how do you feel about what happened? And again, I rationalized and said, okay, let's try something. So she said to me, right, close your eyes, and she said, I want you to take yourself back to 6 weeks of age. And 6 weeks of age is when I was put into an orphanage. And she said, I want you to take yourself back to 6 weeks of age. And so I thought, okay, let's give this a go. And back I went. And I was there in the infant's body at six weeks of age. And she said, now I want you to tell me, how does that six-week-old baby feel about being given away by its mother? And that was a light bulb moment. I had a wave of emotion I'd never felt before. And that was the first point where I realized, wow. And that was probably the first moment where my balloon, if you like, that had been floating around in the atmosphere, touched ground. It picked back up and went back in the atmosphere for a while, but it actually touched ground at that moment, and that was the beginning.
Wow, that was the defining moment. And let me ask you specifically, with that defining moment, after receiving therapy for a while, so those who are listening who are asking, oh, well, how did she get over the trauma? How did she heal it? Was that a long process, or was that something that happened quickly? Can you just share a little bit about that?
Well, it's interesting, your question, Emmanuel, because this brings us, in a way, I want to come forward before I go back to that question. It brings us to the times we're living in now. And of course, my work is about personal and global evolution, but actually, it's multifaceted, my work. And I've had to work really hard on how to make coherent the many, many different facets that I'm connected to, be that fifth dimensional consciousness, be that third dimensional reality, be that psychotherapy, be that spirituality, be that conscious evolution, be that channeling, and all the experiences I have in my life, because my life is my teaching. I teach is, I don't learn it from books. It is actually what I've understood and learned through my own experience. So we are now living in these times, you know, we have this sort of 2012 energy that we're right in. We're in the last 11 weeks of that now. And I write about a lot of this on my Facebook wall, which is we're in this accelerated evolutionary trajectory. So this energy is really accelerated. And since 1999, the total solar eclipse of 1999 until 2012, the Maya talked about a 13-year window of time, which they called the quickening. And that's what we've been in. So from a psychological, conscious and spiritual perspective, we have been in this window of quickening. So where I was when I was in therapy back then, yes, it took some time, because my nature is such that I will leave no stone unturned in myself. And so I dove into the deepest aspects of my being, to the place where there was no light. I was in there. But now, all these years on, I have noticed that what would have taken someone in the 90s, for example, 1990s, 7 years to integrate, to heal and integrate, it can be done in record time now. It can be done in a year, because it's such is the energy of the times we're living in. So, yeah, that's, I don't know if I've answered your question.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me ask you another question, because this is just, I'm just so curious about this. You said the time from 1999 to 2012 is the time of quickening. After that, will we continue to quicken with time, or will it get back into a slower pace? What's your perspective on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, again, how many hours do we have, Emmanuel? Because it's such a multi-leveled subject. I'll tell you what I can as succinctly as I can right now. You know, we have this, we are 2012 is instrumental, because it's the completion of a 26,000 year galactic cycle. It's also the galactic alignment. It's also the completion of 5,126 year long count calendar, the Mayan long count calendar. So we have many more things. We have the closing of grand cycles of time. And so where this places us from a consciousness perspective is very, very different. So pre-2112 and post-2112 are very, very different points on the timeline of humanity. And so we can say that there's the pre-conscious and then there's the post-conscious in terms of conscious evolution. So what we find is that when we step over that threshold, as I see it and as I'm shown it, humanity is presented with a blank slate. Now, what I'm aware of is that all timelines converge on 2112, and it's not just historical timelines for humanity, but it's also the timelines within the self. So depending on what one's beliefs are, if we believe in past and future lives, all this converges, all lives converge. There's no past, there's no future, there's only the now. And this is what 2112 signifies more than anything, is we reach the now moment. So in terms of the acceleration of time, we plateau at that point. It's almost like we've been in this sort of trajectory that forces us forward at such an incredible speed in terms of our conscious evolution. And then we sort of plateau as we cross that threshold into a new paradigm consciousness. And my feeling is that the work we're doing on ourselves now, the work we have done on ourselves, not just in this lifetime, but lifetimes that have gone by, particularly spiritual work, because really we're in a time now where it's very much a psychological and a conscious process, whereas in times that have gone by, the focus of self-development has been very much on spiritual progression and evolution. So what we find now is that we've reached this, it's almost like it's crescendo point where we've had this huge spiritual history in terms of, you know, we've sat with gurus and we've sat with masters and we've been disciples and we've been students of spirituality in many, many different lifetimes. But in this lifetime and this last 100 years, really since Freud and Jung gave to humanity, brought into humanity's awareness the psychological dimensions of the human being, of course Maslow after that and so forth, we have been in this sort of condensed, accelerated window of time where the emphasis not only has been on the spiritual development, but has really been about the psychological and the conscious awareness. So we're in that right now. It's really intensified in this year, the last 3 years, but this year particularly, and now this last 3 months, coming up to 2112, is the most intense period. And again, I've started at something I call a shift journal on my Facebook wall, and that started today, and that's really to start talking about a lot of this. So in terms of the acceleration, coming back to your question, I would say that it's a little bit like if you were to fire up a machine and there was a huge amount of work cranking that machine and getting that energy really, really moving, and then you step back and the wheel's still spinning. And I feel that we're in that when we go into 2013. Mm-hmm. How can we say that the spinning of time that's been cranked to its sort of crescendo point, which peaks at 2112, then plateaus and it stays at that level. We're in that hum. We're in that spin.
Wow. And there's just so much wealth of information in your sharing right now, and I'm sure our listeners are really, really receiving so much insight. So I want to ask you, I know your work has a political element. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, this is very interesting as well, because I've been so anti-political. I've never voted in my life. I've had no interest in politics at all, and there's a whole other conversation we could go down with that one alone, why I understand why that is, but not for today. But suffice to say that in the last year or so, I've noticed my consciousness, my awareness has started to turn towards the socio-political situation that we find ourselves on a global level. And in my book that I've completed now that comes out in September 2013, that's called a 21st Century Handbook for Psychological, Conscious and Spiritual Evolution. It's also about global evolution as well. It's about weaving the two together. This is the point in my own work now where I am bridging personal and global evolution. So in that book, I talk a lot about personal evolution and also about a model that I've written called the 21 Arrows. And basically it's a 7 dark, 7 light and 7 rainbow arrows, a map revolving consciousness. And it's the first ever fully written account of these, what was a First Nations people model that had been handed down in the oral tradition. And so I've written an extensive account of what each arrow means and how we can use it as a map revolving consciousness. So there's lots of like little gems like that in the book, but it also bridges towards global evolution. And so I also talk about contemporary spirituality. So a huge part of the book is about contemporary spirituality and how we need a contemporary spirituality for the consciousness of the times and the people that we are in this lifetime, at this moment in time. So I talk about stripping the all sort of religious doctrines and scriptures and so forth, strip everything back to its core, because what we find at the core of all religion and all religious philosophy is the heart and is love. So I talk a lot about that. So I talk about the 10 fundamental values of contemporary spirituality, which are unconditional love, unconditional positive regard, compassion, empathy, understanding, transparency, mindfulness, equality, conscious communication, and unity consciousness. So that's what I set out as the 10 fundamental values of contemporary spirituality. But I also talk about, in terms of global evolution, the six core values for an evolving world and the 12 foundation stones for a new world paradigm. So the six core values for an evolving world are peace, restorative justice, sustainability, compassionate action, conscious communication, and conscious evolution. And the 12 foundation stones for a new world paradigm are equality, inclusivity, understanding, forgiveness, empathy, co-creation, cooperation, co-support, collaboration, non-monetary transactions, non-violent and compassionate communication, and unconditional giving, receiving, and doing. And I talk quite extensively about these in the new book.
Wow. That's blowing my mind, really. It is, and I can't wait to read that book, and that's coming out next September 2013, correct?
Yeah, it should be on Amazon around sort of maybe late July, August of next year.
Awesome. I'm so excited for that, and we'll make sure that we share that with our audience when the time comes, so that we can make sure they go to it. So let me ask you, what advice can you offer to our listeners about how they can engage more fully with their own personal evolution and how they may participate more in the global evolution?
That's a good question. Well, there's, in terms of personal evolution, I would say it really is about giving themselves access to evolutionary material. So whether that's through reading material, through researching things on the internet, through joining psychologically oriented groups for group process, for personal process, for working one-to-one with a new, a new, dare I say it, a new breed of therapist, if you like. The way I see it going is that I've always had an issue with the word therapist, because if you break it up, it's the rapist. And actually, in therapy, you have to be incredibly mindful of the vulnerability and the susceptibility and the permeability, if there's any such word, of the person sitting in front of you. And again, you know, there are some wonderful, wonderful therapists out there, but there are also therapists that haven't gone deep enough in themselves, who aren't always able to hold the material that comes to them. So there's a new breed, as I term it, of, you know, like the new word therapist, I say, is human whisperers. And this is what I see myself as a human whisperer, someone who knows how to sit with another human being or sit with the group and hear what is not being spoken, and be informed by the unspoken and work with that in guiding someone. So I would say, and I will be putting this in my book as well, I have a resources directory in the book, but I want to get this posted onto my website as well. For people to seek out human whisperers. So anybody that's thinking about doing personal healing and transformational work on themselves, I would say that when you seek a, in quotes, therapist, for me it's old paradigm language, when one seeks a therapist, in quotations, really ask questions. How long has this person been doing this? What kind of training background do they have? How deep in themselves have they gone? Really do some research rather than just turning up at someone says they're a therapist, just sitting there and, you know, putting your, your evolution or your healing edges, your vulnerability and sensitivity in the hands of someone who may not be skilled enough at this point to bring everything you bring to them. So personal evolution really is about finding the right person to work with. And I would say, if people want to get a sense of, well, who is the best, what kind of branch of psychotherapy would I personally recommend, I would always say core process psychotherapy, which is based in Buddhism concepts. It's based on compassion, and Karuna, the Karuna Institute in the UK, and I'm sure there's one in America as well. Check the Karuna Institute out, and if there isn't a Karuna Institute in America, check the one out in the UK and be guided by the Karuna Institute, which was founded by Maureen and Franklin Sills, who were the founders of Core Process Psychotherapy. Core Process Psychotherapy is brilliant. And the other branch of psychotherapy, which is equally as good, is psychosynthesis. Also, body-centered therapies are very good as well. And gestalt therapy is very good too. But again, I would say if anybody really wants some advice and guidance on that, just email me or contact me on Facebook. Just leave a comment on the main wall and I will respond to that with some addresses and some email details that people can follow through.
Beautiful. And, one thing that I would love to add to that is just someone that will empower the client in front of them instead of disempower, because there's a lot of times where, a therapist sort of looks at the client as, broken or they need to be fixed. So really being able to hold the space that they are already whole and perfect and just allowing that being to match that for themselves. That's sort of something that I really, really have seen little of at this point, but it's really exciting to hear you talk about. There are people out there who are doing it, so it's just exciting times that we're in. So let me ask you, before we do our fun meditation, I know you have a meditation for us, what is next for you? What are you going to focus your energies on as you move forward?
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for that question, Emmanuel. Well, this is what I've been sitting with all this year. My own process has been quite profound this year. I've been in and out of where do I go from here with the work. And what's happening for me is there's such an alignment for me with the energies of the time in the sense of timeline convergence and being in the now, that I find it very, very difficult to be in tomorrow or next week or next month. And I'm certainly not in the past either. So what I'm doing is I wake every morning, and my prayer every morning is to just be with what the day brings. And so I'm finding it difficult to plan and say, well, my focus is on this and my focus is on that. What I know as an overall is that what I'm carrying right now, what my contribution is, if you like, to humanity right now, is this bridge between personal and global evolution, alongside bringing insight, awareness, reassurance, understanding to the profound times that we're living in this incarnation. And that's all I do know. But I also wanted to just quickly say here that you asked the question about personal and global evolution, what people can do. In terms of global evolution, I would say get involved. Get deeply involved with, in quotes, a better world initiative, whether that's a vase, whether that's World Shift, whether that's Pachamama Alliance, whether it's any of these wonderful initiatives that are actually out there. Get involved, because there's something about what happens to our own personal healing and transformation and evolution that is accelerated when we are actually giving unconditionally of our time as volunteers, not for payment, just because this is my contribution to humanity. Here's what I'm doing for myself at a personal level, but here's what I can do at a global level as well. So that I wanted to bring that piece in, because I realized I'd left that piece out. So, yeah.
Yay. All right. So thank you so much for that. And can you share your beautiful meditation? I know you have an amazing meditation that is helping many. So can you share some of that with us today?
Yes, I'd be very, very happy to. And just to add here that the meditation that I've chosen to do today is a peace meditation. And if people go on YouTube and they just type in Nicola Christie, the peace film, they can actually immerse themselves in the experience of this meditation with music and imagery as well.
Beautiful.
So, shall I begin, Emmanuel?
Yes, yes, please, go ahead.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
Thank you. Okay. So, I would just invite everyone now to just close your eyes and just become aware of your breathing. And just becoming aware of the in-breath and the out-breath. And allowing the in-breath to take you into your heart. And just feel the beauty of your heart and the love that you are. And to know this, there is no lotus flower without the mud from which it grows. There is a peace center inside each of us. Go to that place within yourself now. Take refuge in that inner peace center within you now. Breathe in. And breathe out peace. Let each in-breath and each out-breath bring you home to yourself and into the inner peace center within you. Each in-breath takes you there. Each out-breath takes you there. Take refuge in the inner peace center within you. Go to this place of peace. This is a place in which to heal, to take refuge, to recharge, to be resourced, to regenerate. Go there now. Focus your whole being on going inside into that stunning and beautiful peace center within you. It is like home, remember. Breathe. Each in-breath taking you there. Each out-breath taking you there. Breathe in and out. In and out. In and out. All is well. All shall be well. And in your own time, when you feel ready, just bring your awareness back into the room, to your body. And when you're ready, just open your eyes and carry this sense of peace, this peace center that you are, into your life and into the world.
That was amazing. Thank you so much, Nicolia, for that beautiful meditation. And I'm just so relaxed.
So peaceful.
And I can feel the peace all over the world. All our listeners just really connecting with that peace. So thank you so much. And I know that we are almost out of time, but It's been such an honor to have you here. You are such a gift, such a blessing to in my life and then just in the world. And I'm just so honored to know you. And where can our listeners learn more about your work, about your information, websites, events, all that good stuff?
Well, thank you very much for what you just said, Emmanuel. And, you know, I'm just truly, truly honored to be here and to share with you and to share with everyone that's listening. It's a real blessing for me too, so thank you very, very much. Where people can find my work and me is my website, which is www.nicoliachristie.com. And on Facebook, I've got two profiles. I have my author profile, which is inactive, that page at this point, and I have a very, very active page. So they'll find me on Facebook, and I'm active on there every day with the work. So that's where you find me.
Beautiful. And I just want to let the listeners know, Nicolia with a Y, so N-I-C-O-L-Y-A, Christie.
Yes.
Perfect. And Christie is also two I's, and there's no Y's in that. So C-H-R-I-S-T-I, Nicolia Christie. And Nicolia, I like to do a fun little process before we end, so we end on a really, really fun note. So I'm going to share with you three words, just any words, and the first thing that pops into your mind for each word, okay? Just, and you can wrap it up in one word. So the first one is music. What's the first thing you think of?
Love.
The sun.
Beauty.
The heart.
Oh, joy.
Nicolia, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so honored. You are welcome back anytime. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you heard anything you enjoyed, please share it with all your friends and all your family or loved ones that you feel would really enjoy this work. And, you know, thank you for really, really co-creating these radio shows with me, and really this is your show. This is for you. So thank you, and make sure to tune in 2 weeks. We have an amazing guest sending you lots of love. Have a miraculous day.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.